and Raven Show. With you everywhere you go. The Anna and Raven Show podcast. Star 99.9. Today's best mix.
That's all I need to know about you.
It's Anna and Raven. I don't know how to say this without sounding bitter.
Okay.
But if you ain't got no shame in the being nosy game,
okay,
that's all I need to know about you.
Who's in your business, yo?
Just lately, I'm not really sure what's going on, but mm-hmm. people have become so much more brazen.
It is true.
Right?
You and I were talking about that a little bit yesterday.
Like, yeah.
People are in people's business and asking a lot of questions. Like, it's one thing to probe somebody's business,
yeah.
and it's one thing to be paying attention, and Facebook stalking is another category all by itself.
That's different.
But when somebody asks you a question and you give a relatively benign answer, it usually is the signal that don't probe.
Exactly.
Don't dig. And people are coming back with not only another question, but like three or four questions.
It's really fascinating. And in addition, I know what you're talking about, but like I've been asked lately how old I am.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've been asked by two different people.
That's something
people,
else. But.
And this is something, I don't know if it's like because the industry we're in and what we do for a living that people feel like there's no shame to ask us questions. But when people ask me, how much money do you make? It's one
Can
of those.
Can you ever ask anybody how much money do you make?
I've been asked it twice in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
by
that's
people
weird.
I don't know well. It's not like my mom or like my brother. It's like people that don't know me well.
And people even that know you well
would not imply, like, they
wouldn't ask directly. If you want to talk about it, you'll talk about it.
Yeah, it's so strange.
Like that is strange.
When people come forward. What school does your daughter go to? Well, I don't know you, so I think it's weird that you're asking that.
Right.
But I'm
not going to give you that information.
Some people are just so nosy,
yeah.
and they don't see anything wrong with like asking these really deeply personal questions. Mm-hmm. Am I the only one that has that issue?
No, I doubt it, but it definitely does seem like, listen, you know I don't buy into the Mercury retrograde or anything, but there is something going on because
right.
there are people asking a lot of in-depth questions lately.
That's all I need to know about you if you are super nosy and you don't care. You're like, listen, I'll just come out with it.
Well, I'll just follow up on that then. If you don't have a barometer that tells you when to back off, like
right.
that's all I need to know about you. Most people, listen, you can ask a question. Take your shots. Right? Take mm-hmm. your stabs at different questions. Mm-hmm. Some people like to mix it up and have conversations that are like that are pointed and get right to a point, right? But when somebody, when you take the temperature and you realize that it's not being warmly received,
right?
You know, just all right, go with another line of questioning.
Yep.
I've seen that a lot lately.
It's very strange.
It is strange,
how
right?
How about the woman that told me she looked up how much I paid for my house? I was like, what?
It's a little creepy, but you do that to everybody.
That's all I need to know about
Anna
you.
Zapp, you do that to every single person we ever discuss in this room. You pull up their MLS records, you know their taxes,
their tax
everything.
I pull up their tax records to see, to find
But
them.
If you scroll down, what they paid for their house is listed there. So
public knowledge. 1-800-330-9999. Fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You got the keys in your hand. You just closed on your house. You walk into your new home. And then there's that thing that the old owners left behind.
This wasn't in the inspection. This was supposed to be gone.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I went to a friend's housewarming party this past weekend. Of course, everybody's around marveling at all the work they've done, how beautiful their new home is, that type of stuff. And then midway through the night, I find out that they didn't have to paint, that the paint was already good in their living room, which whoever gets that lucky that you don't have to paint or whatever. So I immediately decided that he's actually a lazy bum, but then it made me think that, you know, sometimes cool things do get left behind.
Right, and sometimes not just cool things, but strange things get left behind.
When we moved into our place, we had given them all this time to clear out. Of course, they were always running late, as it would be. There was a patio set there that I absolutely despised when we got there, and it was like wrought iron, super heavy. Sold that thing for like $800. So I thought it was terrible, ended up being completely awesome.
See, I had nothing like that. I had, my house is built in 1938. So they had installed, I guess the original owners back in the 30s, a beer opener, like a pop top opener.
Good.
And I had it's original. and they left that.
It's an original beer top opener.
Right? But it's screwed into the wall. Like, it's not like they left it in a drawer. It's
and
like
when they built things in the 30s, they built it the last. It made it through WW2.
These people are nicer than me. Because when I leave that house, it's coming with me.
You're like, taking that popper with you.
Also, in the basement, there's like one of those old school pencil sharpeners. Like the ones you don't see anymore on the walls. Right?
You're amazed by the slightest things.
Oh, man.
You're like a child going to a flea market.
I also found, like, in a random hidden nook in the basement, all these old beer bottles. Like, it had to be somebody over the years just going downstairs and hiding in the basement and drinking and doing all that.
Good. So your home was the home of a raging alcoholic who was hiding from his spouse.
Or, like, a teenager that was hiding it from his parents and never cleared it out.
Yeah, I guess that's a possibility, too.
Yeah, we asked on our Facebook page, like, what was the thing that the old owners left behind? Joanne, she found a drop-down ceiling and $4,000 in cash.
Nice!
All the bills in 50s.
What?
Can you imagine? Who forgets they have $4,000 hidden in their house?
People do forget. They used to hide this stuff. You know, your grandparents, they always say, check the couch cushions, right? Especially when you clear out a family member's house, because you never know. Plus, let's face it, some of us lose our minds before it's over. You know?
1-800-330-9999. What did the owners leave behind in your house?
It's called a pelvic floor stimulator. I mean, I'm not entirely sure what that is.
Wait a minute. A pelvic floor stimulator. What does this look like?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a vibrator. I'll be honest with you. It looked like a vibrator.
So where was this in the house? The center of the living room? What?
It was tucked away in the bathroom closet.
Okay.
But, like, I didn't find it until 8 months later.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me Google.
It's like a haunted pelvic thing floor. That's in your house. I love it.
Pelvic floor. What is it called? Pelvic floor.
Simulator.
And
it was not
simulator.
In a bag.
Not simulator. Stimulator.
Stimulator.
It's not Star Trek.
Okay. Simulator. Hey, listen, don't Google it.
Was it written on the side of it? Like, how did you know what it was called? Did it have, like, a brass plate where it was stamped on it? Is it from the Middle Ages here in Connecticut?
It had instructions with it.
Oh, my God! Who buys something like that and ever forgets how it operates, Anna Zapp?
Men and women with fecal and or urinary incontinence.
Oh, stop it.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. This is no longer funny, I feel bad.
1-800-330-9999. What weird thing did you find in your house, good or not good, after you moved in? When you move into a new home, it just happens. You find things that the owners left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these things are great, like the extra paint that matches the trim of the room so you don't have to go try and find it.
Oh, look, they left some bullnose here right now. I'll need that when I repair the floor. That was really nice of them.
Yeah, or maybe I found the antique bottle opener that was attached to the wall and the antique pencil sharpener.
I mean, you're the only person I know that would think that was a big score, but good for you.
It's so cool. It's Anna and Raven. I just thought it was so nice for them to leave it behind because when I move, it's coming with me.
It goes both ways, though. Here's the thing about that street. As we know, is sometimes people leave things behind that are real crappy, too.
Right, and you don't want it.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. What do the owners leave behind at your new place?
You know, when my mom and I first moved into our house, we were going through some stuff, and there was a pet memorial. It was a picture of this pet, an old dog that was there, and they had a bunch of stuff, and they had, like, all of these things, and then they had this box, and we didn't know what else to do. We just threw it out. We don't know if that is in the box. Very creepy.
Oh my gosh.
That somebody on our Facebook page, Dee, she wrote she found the ashes of their dog Buddy.
Oh.
That, it's so sad.
It is sad.
Who leaves that behind?
Yeah.
I don't know if they forgot at that point.
Right. But for all you know, you sent them off to the landfill. Thank you.
Anna and Raven, what did your owners leave behind?
Oh, a couple things. We found some stuff in the wall in the basement, and it was like those postcards that you send back and forth between the girl that lived in the house and a boy in Springfield. And then we found their naturalization papers in the ceiling in the kitchen
from
1903.
Well, you got to keep those handy just in case you need those, right? All right.
I feel like that's really kind of cool to come across, though, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We looked up the whole family and found them in the area where they were buried, who died of the plague. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Did you return the paperwork to any living relatives?
I tried, and nobody is in the area anymore.
Because they thought you were an INS.
Right.
They were like, nope. I'm not going.
Listen, the 90-year-old neighbor remembered all of them.
That's wow. So nice. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did the owners leave behind at your house?
Well, I actually was very blessed. I think we had a very nice family that we bought the house from. And the house, actually, the entire family lived in that house their whole life. So whenever we're cleaning the house, I always find little messages and scriptures that they've left us. And they're always so kind and helpful. And the last one said, remember to be kind and love another every day. And I was actually very surprised because we didn't really get to know them very much in the closing process. But the son stopped by and he said, so have you seen the messages? So I think they did that on purpose to kind of give us like a nice start to the house.
That is so nice. Sweet.
It's so much better than leaving behind like a possessed doll or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right? Those are nice.
Right.
Oh, nice. Anna and Raven, what did you find in your house after you moved in?
So I was giving about the fifth tour of our house. We've been in about 2 weeks. We're in the attic and I saw a monitor screen and decided to just turn it on. And it turned out to be a security camera, like a professional security camera, like from a store. And it had like 8 different views around our house of video monitoring.
And you didn't even know it was there when you bought the home?
No, they didn't tell us that they left it.
Yeah, so
but
did you...
But it was in the attic.
You made sure that it's not, like, hooked up to the internet or anything, right? Because,
right.
I mean, if not, that dude is watching you take a shower.
Right.
I mean, hopefully not.
Yes.
Hopefully not. But
hopefully not.
Right.
I mean, check that cord today.
Right.
What are you talking about? Hopefully not.
It was the best part of the tour.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I mean, okay. 1-800-330-9999. What the owners leave behind in your home? You move into your new home. You're all excited. And then you realize, oh, the owners left something behind.
Right.
Sometimes it's awesome. Sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's downright creepy. Sometimes it could be a windfall. You never know.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What do the owners leave behind at your new place?
Hi. So the owners of our house moved about 5-10 minutes away, and they brought their outdoor-indoor cat with them. But one night, we heard meowing on our roof, found out that it was their cat, and now we actually have a nice little bonus cat that goes back and forth between both of our houses.
Right, right. You can't tell that cat that it doesn't still live there. That cat is like, nope, that's still my place.
It's kind of weird, don't
that
you
is,
think?
It is fun, though, now, right? So you have a shared family. It's kind of like an episode of This Is Us. That's,
yeah.
Good job.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do the owners leave at your house?
Okay, this is kind of creepy. We're the third owners of our house, and the guy who built it, neighbors told us, built it and put in a built-in pool. But then he went to jail for embezzlement. And one Christmas, we were in the house like a year, right around Christmas time, the doorbell rang. It was a guy who handed me the business card with the name of the guy on it and said he loved the house, always loved it, and wanted to buy it back for cash.
Did you sell it, the house?
We don't know what's there. We're thinking it's not a dead body. We're thinking it's probably cash, and we might want to dig up the pool one day.
I mean, I was going to say, there's no way you sell that house without
digging
that
the pool.
Pool out first.
Oh, I want to do that right now.
Oh, my God.
Don't you want to know what's under there?
What a gamble, right?
Because right.
We have weddings to pay for and stuff like that. When our kids are getting married, I'm digging up the pool to pay for the wedding.
I was going to say, right? There's always got to be in the back of your mind that that's your get out of jail card, right? Like, that's your escape card right there.
Yeah, but hold on. We're thinking the positive. There's a good chance that there's bodies under there.
Well, it
that's
could be
not
a
good.
Body. Right. It's true. Could be a body.
So why would he want the house back for bodies?
Oh, because he doesn't want anybody else to ever find it, of course. If he owns it, he can move the body. I mean, am I the only person that watches ID Network?
I guess.
Don't normal people think like this?
I don't know. All right.
Thank you for the story.
Name, guys, listen to this. It gets weirder. The guy's name, I'm not going to give you his name, but it's a guy who signed the Declaration of Independence, but he looks Italian and has a British accent. That's weird.
Good. Yes.
Wait a minute. You mean he's not actually John Quincy Adams?
And on Raven, what did you find at your house the owners left behind?
Yeah. Hi, good morning. So we bought this really cute little ranch house, and after being in it for a month, found out that a previous owner was this woman who was the girlfriend of a notorious gangster. In fact, and this was back in the late 60s that she had lived there, the boyfriend and his gang had pulled off a Brinks truck robbery, millions of dollars. There was a big raid. Federal agents came in. They surrounded the house, and so they arrested everybody. in the hallway, there were like false walls. We pulled the paneling down and found a key taped to the wall. The money was never found from the robbery. And I don't live there anymore, but for years we were always concerned that these guys are still in prison, that they would get out and come looking for the key.
Well, what does that key belong to?
Oh, my gosh.
Get a locksmith, lady.
That's a good question. We brought it to a blacksmith shop, and they looked at it and said it looked like a safety deposit type of a key, but there's no way of knowing where it is.
I'm at every bank. No, man. That's it. That's
seven somewhere. Banks on my list today for lunch hour.
No, that's like overseas somewhere, that safe deposit box is.
Or buried in the backyard.
According with Courtney, Courtney Davis is a stand-up comedian, and she managed to marry a millionaire.
What?
Yeah,
Courtney,
I did it.
It's a trip.
Yeah.
My dream.
And a lot of people come to you for relationship advice when they're single because...
Yes.
Because she cracked the code, yo.
Right. Went around to local bars, and I asked the people who clearly were there to have a good time and single... what questions they had for you.
All right, so I just turned 30, and it seems like everyone I know, they're engaged, they're married, they're having kids. And I'm going out to bars, and I'm really trying, but I don't know how to approach people. How do I attract people to me, go up to people? How do I meet a guy?
I mean, okay, I think approaching people when you're single has to be one of the hardest things to do for a woman.
Yes, because they don't understand. When you enter a bar, every man in that room thinks they have no chance to get with you. Men are just as insecure, if not more insecure, than women. But we think, oh, they're just these confident guys and they don't want me. But trust me, you have to like hold a sign that says, I will sleep with you or I will go on a date with you for a man to realize that this could happen.
What?
Love to see that sign somewhere that when like, I was younger.
Are men insecure?
Well, definitely. Men are insecure, no question about it. I think they're much more insecure than people think. And that's where you get the terrible, cheesy line. Because
of course,
that's the thing they'll go to instead of actually just having a conversation. It's very difficult to say hello.
Exactly.
When you walk in, you feel like everybody's watching.
Yep. Which
they are.
That's why I think when you go, if you say you go into a bar, of course you want to have the easy stuff like smile, you know, look friendly, make eye contact with people. But also there are some tricks. So when you walk in somewhere, act like you're the host of the party. It's your party. You're being friendly with anyone. So if you want to talk to a guy, in your mind, they're all your friends. So it's very easy. People are going to be naturally attracted to the host of the party and want to talk to them.
I find when single women go out, they go out together because it's easier. And I think that has to be pretty intimidating for guys too, because here's a flock of women and then the minute a guy approaches, they all jump down his throat.
I think it's great to go out with girlfriends, but at some point, if you see something you like, you have to break away from your girlfriends because a guy is going to have a lot of trouble going up to a group of girls. It's just go to the bathroom, make your way to the middle of the bar, be in the high traffic area. So if you see the cute guy and he's near the bar, go where he is and pretend the bartender's right there and you're trying to order a drink. Scooch up your way in there so he has a chance and he doesn't have to be afraid
of
your friends.
Oh, I blinked. I'm sorry. I didn't notice you, ninja hot chick.
Right.
That just came up
also,
next to me.
Thank God you have that sign saying I'll sleep with you.
Thank God you're wearing that t-shirt.
Two out of my three favorites right here going on here. That's great. I thought I was going to have to buy all your girlfriends a drink too. Now I see it's Netflix and chill. Let's do this.
Also, if you're wearing glasses or a t-shirt, do you ever think like when I look the most horrible is when I get hit on? Like not horrible, but when I look casual and unintimidating, guys like it.
Well,
I feel
the glasses
thing
is just a library fantasy. I mean, that's all that is.
You dress as a fantasy, right? That's true, too.
It's wonderful. That and the sign.
I think that's a big mistake a lot of women make. They go out with their cleavage out and the short skirts and
and have guys, some mystery.
Yeah.
You want a real woman. You want to see who you're going to be hanging out with. You know what I
mean? Yeah, don't be perfect.
Right. Be hot enough.
Be hot enough.
Like just roll out of bed and go to the bar.
No, yes. But hot. But only
don't
if
think
you're
of
hot.
The best idea. Go with the first idea.
Okay.
The other day, I was helping my friend meet a guy, and literally all we did was wave to the guy across the bar, and they waved back. And they're like, they want to wave you over, and they're immediately going to say, well, what's going on? Why is she waving at me? Or I thought she was cute. Like, there's no harm in just waving and just being open to the idea of meeting. Just wave.
Just wave.
Literally just
wave.
So you keep waving back and forth to each other. How long does that go on before you yell, you're on fire? Your coat, it's smoking. No,
the bigger question is, if you're waving on the side of a street wearing your I'll sleep with you shirt, how long before you're arrested? If you wanted some advice from courting with Courtney,
you can head to star999.com. Search Anna and Raven. This was trending in the news yesterday.
Lowe says it will start selling things above $5 for the first time in 17 years. The items costing up to $10 will be in a separate section of the store. The company said most of its merchandise remains below $5, so it's keeping the store name.
It's Anna and Raven. That's right, Five Below, which is basically like a fun store that I can bring my kids to and say, go crazy, because everything costs less than $5.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I just can't stand when this happens because, I mean, I get it. You got to make money. You're business, but without fail, you can tell me that 90% of that stuff in there will still be under $5. My children will walk in there and they will find the one item that's $27.99.
Yeah,
without
yeah.
fail,
because they're lying. Because the rest of that stuff becomes junk that goes by the wayside. I got really confused by this. So, which one is everything is a dollar? Right? Is that the dollar store?
Right, well,
so everything is a dollar at the dollar store.
Yeah,
and then there's like Dollar General, which just means that everything is rounded to a dollar. Which I was blown away by when I went in there one time. I was like, wait a minute. Pick something up. I was like, for a buck, this is fantastic. Then you see it's $7 and you're like, wait a minute.
Who played me? It gets so aggravating sometimes.
Me?
Yeah. If I walk into TJ Maxx or Marshall's and there's like a rack and it says like everything under $10, right? I will find the one item that some stranger shoved in there that is full price.
But it's chaos at TJ Maxx. You know that. That's the whole thing about TJ Maxx and Marshall's. It's chaos.
I just think that if you're not going to have everything in your store under $5, same thing with the dollar store. When you walk in and you pick up a little ceramic shell and you're like, oh, this is cute. And all of a sudden you find out it's $1.50. It just seems like false advertising to me.
Right? You've lost the whole mojo of the name. That was the thing, is it was clever because it was true. And now it's not.
Right. You've
totally lost that connection with the people.
So if we're going to rename Five Below, now that it's going to have a section called 10 Below, where you're going to buy items for under $10, what should we rename the store?
How about Dirty, Dirty, Dirty Liar Store?
That seems...
No, it
seems a little bit
not a good tagline.
Right. Yeah.
How about place I'll never take my children again because I can't afford to walk through the halls anymore?
Also seems a little bit harsh.
All right.
Maybe they should just like do it.
Do you have any ideas?
Somewhat affordably priced, but still not under $5.
It's going to be hard to fit on signs, though.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, right? Well.
Oh my God! Could you chew any louder?
Did you watch this without me?
Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom.
What do you want to get for dinner?
Let us solve your problems. Star 99.9 Honda of Westport Couples Court.
Jackie and Mark. Jackie, explain what happened.
My husband Mark comes bursting into our bedroom the other day. What is this text message? It was like an unlisted number on my phone. It said, great time last night. You were amazing. He's flipping out. It's my boss, my female boss, that texted me earlier in the morning to congratulate me on securing a new business client at a work dinner the night before.
Oh, likely story. Likely story.
Seems 100% accurate to me.
Hit it behind her female boss, huh? Likely story.
Mark, why are you going through your wife's phone?
I don't think it's a big deal that I would just look through her phone. I mean, we have been married for a while. We have rights to each other's stuff, you know, but I don't get to look at the phone.
I mean, this is a perfect example, though, of why assumptions usually bite us right in the rear. You're going through her phone. You see something out of context, and look at how angry you are. You bust in the room. I mean, you've got a right to be mad, Jackie.
I have a right to be mad, too.
Do you? She did a great job at work. You should definitely be pissed.
Yes. I didn't know that. That could have been anybody.
Why were you checking my text messages? What are we, like, dating high school kids?
Jackie, we're married. I can look through your phone. You can look through my phone. You know, I didn't think it would be a problem. We've been together for so long. We should be able to do this. There shouldn't
That's
be anything
not,
on that phone that would upset you from me seeing.
That wasn't in our vows. It's a violation of privacy. I still have
my own
life.
Right, but when they wrote vows, in defense of vows, they wrote vows and they didn't write in that... You know, cell phones weren't thought of at the time, so those aren't in vows, but it probably should be.
Well, what we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Mark, that once you're married, if you have nothing to hide, what's the big deal? You guys can equally go through each other's phones. But they may see your side too, Jackie. Your phone is your phone, and you still uphold some kind of level of privacy. Just because you're married doesn't mean you give that up. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Sure.
Great. Give us a call, 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Honda Westport Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
So, Mark goes through his wife Jackie's phone, and the reason how she found out was because she had a text from her boss that he misconstrued, accused her of all kinds of things, and she was like, first of all, it's my boss, and second of all,
Why are you going through my phone?
Listen, man. Text messages from unknown numbers look scandalous. But again, it's her boss.
So the question is if you're married, is it such a big deal if your significant other goes through your phone? Because he says, no, what's the big deal? We have nothing to hide from each other. She says, it's just a plain invasion of privacy. Hi, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. You can't just go through somebody else's phone. There's like a sense of privacy. You still have to maintain your own personal space even when you're married, or else it's codependent and unhealthy.
Mm. Are you married?
No, of course not. I hate that.
I love your passion.
It's so funny because I'll go through my husband's phone whenever I feel like it. Not like because I'm looking for anything, just for my own amusement. But every time I see him playing with my phone, I'm like, why does he got to go through my phone?
Right. I think that we all feel as individuals, like it does feel like an invasion of privacy. But I tell you something, whenever I think my wife is feeling insecure, I put my phone on the table. I say, listen, you know my passcodes, like they're the same. Anytime you want to pick up my stuff, just look at it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem.
I don't have any secrets.
Yeah. I don't think I'd have a problem, to be honest. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Honda of Westport Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Mark goes through his wife's phone.
No, stop it. There's a reason that Timberlake has his talent and you have yours. Right, and they don't line up, unfortunately.
Honda of Westport Couples Court. Jackie found out that her husband, Mark, went through her phone because he accused her of something based on a text message. It was a misunderstanding. It was a text from her boss congratulating her on securing a new client.
It said, listen, you were amazing last night. Can't wait to see you or something.
No, it wasn't good. Say that.
It said you were amazing last night. Thank you for a wonderful evening. You were amazing.
Right. Because she secured a new client at a big dinner.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
That's why you kick in the door and throw an accusation around on a Thursday night.
That's right. Santa and Raven. And Mark is like, what's the big deal if I go through your phone? Because Jackie was clearly really upset that he had done that. And she says, because it's privacy. He says, we've been married for years. What do you have to hide? What is the difference? You can go through my phone.
Right. We have no privacy laws here.
Yeah. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm actually on his side. There's no invasion of privacy. They're married. They've been together for how long? They should be able to look at each other's phone for no problem. No one's hiding anything. I understand her that he overreacted over a text. I understand that, but it shouldn't be a big deal for him to look at her phone.
Mm.
Yeah.
If you can collect my social security, I can collect your messages. Maybe, maybe not.
I think I agree with her. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side because I feel it's more an issue of him having some sort of insecurity with her working late more than him going through her phone.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
Oh, I'm on the woman's side for sure. This guy's acting like an insecure jerk. You should never open people's email, text, or actual mail that comes from the post office. That's just not allowable.
What
and you
if
know
you
what?
Get sent coupons in the mail that are not to you, but are you really going to send them back? I feel like you could keep those.
Right. You got to do the store stop off. You're going to be the one going in the place. That's fine. And what if you see in the subject line, hot lover?
Well,
picture included.
I think email is different than text messaging.
No, no, no. And you know what? For him to make that giant leap so quickly, maybe he's doing something fishy behind the scenes.
Here we go.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jackie, our audience agreed with you. Mark, just because you're married doesn't give you the right to go through her phone. It's intrusive, and if you trust your wife, then you shouldn't be doing
that. Thank your audience you.
Is stupid. I said your audience is stupid.
Oh, well, that's, I mean, very grown up and mature.
Yeah, well, you know.
See what I'm dealing with?
Phones are kind of our inner monologue at this point now. And so I understand that it's not just the things that we do. It's the things that we think about or we research or whatever. There's a lot of room for a lot of things to be misinterpreted. It's kind of like Pandora's box. It's a vault where if you're looking for something to be upset about, and I've always found this to be my experience, you will find something to be upset about.
That's right. If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescourt@star999.com.
You already know TMZ breaking news before it breaks.
I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm ready to take on the Catalina wine mixer.
Spend hours a day stalking your favorite celebs on Twitter.
My t-shirt's stuck to my sweater, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Answer questions with obscure movie quotes.
Are you asking me for a divorce?
Yay! Two Christmases!
It's time to use that useless knowledge and play Can't Beat Raven. Powered by Scap Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Star 99.9.
Rosalinda, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Rosalinda.
All right. I like that Raven called you Rosie, like he knows you. Yeah, all right. Rosalinda, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. It's a tie. It goes to Raven. But if you beat him, we give you a $100 gift card to Little Pub. Ready to do it?
Yes.
Number 1, The Crown is back for season 3. What streaming service has The Crown?
Netflix.
Number 2, Celine Dion celebrated her new album at a secret release party at Lips in New York City. This Titanic song that she performed was her biggest selling single. What was it called?
My Heart Will Go On.
Number 3, Taylor Swift reached an agreement to sing her old songs at the AMAs after the conflict with her old label. What Broadway musical turned movie will she star in this year?
I do not know.
Okay, number 4, Jennifer Lopez says she didn't get paid to do the movie Hustlers. What TV show was she a Fly Girl backup dancer?
In Living Color.
And number 5, Chuck E. Cheese says they're getting rid of animatronics in their restaurants. The same person that founded this gaming system that made Pong famous created Chuck E. Cheese. What gaming system was it?
Donkey Kong? I don't know.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in. Raven?
Yo!
Rosalinda got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 is pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Okay. Number 1, The Crown is back for season 3.
Yes, I'm already on episode 5.
What streaming service has The Crown?
Oh, Netflix, of course.
That is correct.
What an incredibly well-done show, although the third season doesn't quite have the magic of the first two so far.
Number 2, Celine Dion celebrated her new album at a secret release party at Lips in New York City. This Titanic song that she performed was her biggest selling single.
My Heart Will Go On.
That's right. And if you're not familiar with Lips, it's a drag queen bar. And they were having a Celine Dion karaoke night.
Perfect.
And then at midnight, she just got on stage as if she was going to be one of the drag queen performers. Can you imagine being in that crowd and just being like, oh my God, that's Celine Dion.
Well, that's like what Frank Marino's is like in Las Vegas every single night. Have you been to that show? It's awesome.
All right, number 3. Taylor Swift reached an agreement to sing her old songs at the AMAs after the conflict with her old label. What Broadway musical turned movie will she star in this year?
Cats.
That's right. You guys are tied at 3.
I don't believe the backstory for a minute anyways, but I'm glad she'll sing all her favorites. 100%
real story.
Yes, we know what you believe, Anna Zapp.
Jennifer Lopez says she didn't get paid to do the movie Hustlers. She wanted to do it. Interesting, right? What TV show was she a Fly Girl backup dancer?
Of course, it's in Living Color.
That is correct. I'm sorry, Rosalinda. He's beat you today. Number 5, Chuck E. Cheese says they're getting rid of animatronics in their restaurants. The same person that founded this gaming system that made Pong famous created Chuck E. Cheese. What gaming system was it?
If it was Pong, then it was Atari, was it not?
Atari is correct. His name is Nolan Bushnell. He was the founder of Atari and the founder of Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, thank you, my friend. You blessed us all.
I'm sorry, Rosalinda. He beat you today 5-3.
I'm Rosalinda from Bridgeport, and I can't beat Raven.
Thank you so much for playing, though. We appreciate it.
Better luck next time.
We've got another shot for you to get the cheat sheet. It's the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. That's coming up at 5:30 this afternoon with Kevin Begley.
Good stories. Good thoughts, good news. In a world filled with negativity, it's time to tell Anna and Raven something good. Tell me something good. Powered by Walnut Hill Community Church.
Man, I love everything about this. Britt Werner from Ansonia is a wife and a mom, and she realized that this was true of her home.
As many as 90% of the kids that walk by here on any given day don't have food when they go home.
That is a staggering, staggering
90%
fact.
Of the kids walking by her house don't have food when they're going home?
Yeah, she says that they're like once they get home from school, that's what she claims. But here's the thing, is that a lot of times you see this and you hear about this poverty and you hear about these issues with food, especially this time of year. But she did something about it. And she didn't do something about it just now for Thanksgiving. Back in August, she set up a small cabinet in her front lawn, and it's free food for anybody that wanted it.
You can come at 4 a.m. for the people that are working during the day and can't get to the regular food bank. This is a really attractive model because it's all the time.
Here's the thing. That cabinet was so small, and there was such a demand that she had to make a much bigger cabinet. And here's what you probably think. People start coming. They just take everything out of it. It's just free food, right?
Well, it's a good place to put your stuff, too, if you've got some extra stuff. I think that's nice.
Well, it's true.
all of a sudden, so much food started showing up on their doorstep and people trying to make this a bigger thing that they had to make a bigger item. And now 2/3 of their house is filled with food from neighbors that are coming in and making donations for the little thing. They call it the Little Free Pantry on Church.
Well, I hope that there's no ants, all right? Because this is how you get ants. You leave food out, you get ants. So let's make sure that we're taking care of that ant problem. Sounds wonderful.
This initiative that started back in August now has so much food that they started asking people, neighbors started saying, hey, can we bring you stuff for Thanksgiving? She's collected so much that she's had to go to the neighbors asking if they could use their freezers to store things.
Wow.
And now she believes her and her family will be able to feed 200 people on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And at the end of the day, this is what her hopes are.
So that we can, you know, send these to the Hilltop, send these to Derby, send these to Shelton, you know, to Naugatuck, all of those places where possibly food banks can't meet that need.
That's awesome.
What a great effort there. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, really doing something in your community and now communities surrounding you, too.
Yeah.
That's great. Applaud your efforts. No question about it.
And, of course, you know, this time of year, you see the food drives everywhere. And it's so important to give, especially because a lot of the times the food that they get now needs to last them a very long time. But she started this in August. And a lot of people don't realize this, but those the food banks, like the Connecticut Food Bank, in the summer is when they reach their lowest points because it's not top of mind for people.
Right, right. A lot of times. And hunger is something that you don't see a lot of times. It's not in your face because it's inside people's homes.
Yeah.
All right. We keep up a good guard to make sure that everybody on the outside thinks that things are going pretty well. But there is most likely somebody near you, near and dear to you in your community that's suffering more than you think with hunger.
Yeah. So congratulations to Britt and her family from Ansonia for stepping up, doing something about it. And I'm hoping other people follow this model and they take it upon themselves to help feed those in the community.